Well, we've had all kinds of excitement in the last week, mostly killing mosquitoes, but there was some phenology to be gathered as well, and we're going to bring you a look through the eyes of the children. And our funding for student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Our phenology talkbacks are produced by our own Charlie Mitchell. Our first report is brought to you by Elsie and Sebastian from Madison Elementary in Blaine. They visited the Long Lake Conservation Center last week.
Hello, this is Elsie.
And Sebastian from Madison Elementary in Blaine. We had a hot and muggy visit to Long Lake Conservation Center this week. The high temperature was 84 degrees Fahrenheit. Here is our phenology report. There were so many mosquitoes that joined us on all of our adventures. We noticed that the more people there were in our group, the more mosquitoes there were too. Dragonflies were seen hunting in groups and solo. We saw wasps flying in forest, tent caterpillars crawling.
A deer was sitting in the grass near campus. We got pretty close. It didn't move. We left it alone. In canoeing class, we noticed loons, lily pads, blue flag Irish fish, and a few painted turtles sunning themselves on the beaver's lodge. Beavers and muskrats were also seen in the lake. The pink lady slipper flowers are in full bloom in the bog. We had a great end of the year nature field trip, and we want to remind everyone to unplug and get outside and live connected.
Yeah, thank you. And definitely get outside and kill a few mosquitoes while you're out there. There are plenty. I had a conversation with John Allmendinger yesterday about mosquitoes, and he noted that mosquitoes have no fear. If you get attacked by a predator of one sort or another and you attack back, they sort of, you know, even if they're intent on taking you or whatever their intention is, they're going to be a little bit put off. They'll be like, oh, maybe this isn't the easy meal I thought it was going to be. But try that with a mosquito. They have no fear. I have had mosquitoes, you know, 20 of them on my hand, and I can take my fingertip and crush one while three more are standing inches away, and they aren't even bothered. It's like if you were standing there and something crushed the person next to you, you would run like hell. I know I would, but not mosquitoes. They don't have that kind of fear. Unfortunately, I guess. But the blue flag iris, I am watching for mine to start blooming. I found some flower buds, but no flowers yet. Pink lady slippers are definitely in bloom up here as well. Those are a cool little lady slipper. That's the one where the front, instead of having the opening like the yellow and the showy, it has a slit, and the bumblebees just force their way in. It's like, yeah, it's not going to stop me. And they get inside that pink lady slipper, and there's no nectar in there, so they've been cheated. But in order to get out, that slit closed behind them, and in order to get back out, they have to crawl up the throat of the flower, and in doing so they crawl past the female part of the flower and then past the male part of the flower, and the female part of the flower puts a nice dose of pollen on the middle of their backs where they can't reach it, so they can't get it off and eat it, and it gets transferred to the next flower because bumblebees aren't true geniuses and they haven't figured out yet that the lady slippers offer no nectar. So they go into the next pink lady slipper and they're confronted with no nectar in there either. And so as they crawl out, if they've been in one, they've got pollen on their back. And if they crawl out of the second one, they crawl past the female part of that flower, the male part of that flower, and it scoops up pollen off of their backs, and the flower's got done what it wanted, but the the bumblebee has just been a tool in the whole operation. Our second report comes from Charlie Mitchell, who is on Marine on St. Croix.
Good morning, John and Heidi. This week, my wife and I have been really enjoying the extremely high water on the St. Croix River. The river, which normally has these sizable islands and large, shallow backwaters, was completely flooded from bank to bank this weekend. We were able to weave our canoe through the silver maples and ash that dominate the island forests. We found a robin's nest with just one egg sitting a few feet above the water in a small shrub. And the highlight of our week was seeing five otters swimming and diving in one of our favorite backwaters. We often see tracks and sign of the otters, but in 33 years, I'd never actually laid eyes on a live one here on the St. Croix. They swam past us at a distance of 10 to 15 feet, and then they spotted us and were gone. The other fun sighting was a gigantic Polyphemus moth that was fluttering against our screens one evening. After quickly checking on safe moth handling techniques, we carefully captured it in a large glass container and left it in the fridge overnight. With its body chilled, it moved much more slowly, and we were able to get some great photos before bringing it back outside to warm up and fly away. The chickadees have disappeared from our bird feeder, so we suspect they are quite busy harvesting caterpillars and little inchworms for their babies. We've been finding a lot of those small green inchworms dangling on strands of silk from the treetops. John, do you have any idea what those little green dangly caterpillars might be? I assume they're some sort of moth or butterfly, but I'm at a loss. This has been Charlie Mitchell going hither and thither on the St. Croix River.
Thanks, Charlie. A couple of great notes there. The Polyphemus moth. A friend of mine showed me picture of two of them right side by side that they had observed. Mark Williams had been over to the Sac Sim Bog, and they were doing a moth program there, and they were able to get a close look at the Polyphemus, which is a gorgeous moth. You should check them out if you get a chance. You can do this at home. Make up a little mixture of banana. If you've got a banana that's getting kind of old and perhaps a little bit beyond its use-by date, which isn't stamped on the banana, but believe me, you'll know when it comes. Take that banana and mush it up a little bit and put it out in a little bowl outside and let it sort of seep and steam and let the smell come off. And the moths will come, and especially if you put a bright light above it, turn on a like one of those LED flashlights and hang it above this little dish of banana. And then if you have the ability, take like just get a simple white sheet, make a little tent, and put the light under the tent. And the moths and will either land on the outside of the tent or they'll land on the inside of the tent, and you will get a good look at a lot of great moths. And as far as your little worms, those little green dangly caterpillars, I do not know their eventual outcome, but I think you're right. They will probably become some sort of a moth or a butterfly. That's usually the case with those guys, and so we'll just have to kind of keep an eye on them and see what results we get. And then Charlie also included a bit from our Season Watch Facebook page this week. We've seen apparently lots of moths and butterflies. Butterfly expert Allison Barta captured a great photo of the harvester butterfly. The harvester butterfly is famous for being the only carnivorous butterfly in North America. Its diet is composed of various aphids. Other great insect observations included a tiny monarch caterpillar from south of Grand Rapids, hummingbird moth west of Bemidji, and a white-striped black moth near Cass Lake, and a dazzling eight-spotted forester moth near Bemidji. Sean Dunham posted a spectacular photo of pink trilliums blooming against a black drop of yellow lady slippers. Don Contola photographed two tiny loon chicks swimming on North Twin Lake. And Sue Keeler spotted five young woodchucks emerging from a den in southeast Itasca County. I think one of those has ended up at my house. I have a new young woodchuck at home, and not sure how the dog is going to handle that. Monica Hansmeyer had a question about the Jack in the Pulpits. Within the same cluster, she found some plants whose spadix was pink, while others were not. Is this caused by some difference between male and female flowers, or just natural variation within the species? I don't know the answer, but it's got me curious, and I certainly have lots of Jack in the Pulpits, so stay tuned. I'm going to go out and check and see what I can find out. Maybe I'll have some answers for you on that note next week.